Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Children, I wonder if you can tell me, you know what that is? A recycling symbol. Is that what you were going to say? All right. Recycle, reduce, and reuse. Why do we recycle? To save the environment. Yep, that's a good reason. Absolutely. To save the environment so that nothing goes to waste. Right? If we've got a resource, let's use that resource and not let anything go to waste. Today, we've got a story about oil that is being wasted. Or at least that's what the disciples thought. If you open up your pew cards, let's read the story about oil that is being wasted. We read from Matthew 26. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. So a perfume. And she poured it on Jesus' head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Were the disciples wrong? Could that oil have been sold for a lot and could they have helped the poor with that? Were the disciples wrong? No. The disciples weren't wrong. Does the Lord want us to take care of those who are in need? Yes, He does. So here's oil that we could sell it, we could get a lot of money for it, and then we could do a lot of good for our people in need. So it sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Following what the Lord asked them to do, use the money that they had, the things available, the resources available, to help the poor, just as the Lord had commanded. But what do you think the Lord did? Did He think it was a waste that the oil was poured on His head? No, let's read further. But when Jesus was aware of it, He said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." Well, we're busy doing a series as we're leading up to Easter. And the series is about changing minds. Changing minds. Oops, wrong button. And we're looking at the things that the Lord did in that last week before His crucifixion. What were the things that He did and how does that show us, or how is He trying to teach us something new? To change the way we're thinking, change the way we're doing things. The first week we looked at clearing the temple and seeing how the Lord says, the church is not here, the things of my word are not here for us to make gain. We're not meant to benefit financially, or our selfishness is not supposed to benefit from having the things of the church. The Lord said, doesn't belong in the church, and He threw those things out. So that was week one. Week two, we looked at the fig tree. A fig tree full of leaves. But did it have any fruit? No. No fruit on it. One of the Gospels says it wasn't even fruit season. But the Lord used that as an image to us of, we can have all the leaves of knowledge in our lives. We can have all the truths that the Word teaches, but they are meaningless if we don't have the fruits as well. If we don't take those true ideas and live them. So the Lord using these images to tell us a story. So I wonder what today's story is telling us. The disciples think the oil is a waste. And the Lord said, no, that was a good thing to pour it on my head. So I wonder what the Lord is trying to change in our thinking. In order to uncover what the Lord is thinking, we need to think a little bit more deeply about what those images in the story represent. The image of the disciples represents those true things that we have learned from the Lord's Word. The doctrine, as it were, that the church teaches, the doctrine that we have in our lives. And when we think of the disciples' response, were they doing what they thought was right? And rather use this money for the poor? Right? They knew what was right, they knew what the Lord wanted, and were they being obedient? Yes. They were being obedient according to what they knew. They had the facts, they had the truths, and they were acting, they were being obedient to those truths. But the woman with the oil represents a new part of our lives that the Lord wants us to pay more attention to. The woman and woman in the Word represent a love or an affection for the truth. Woman represents a love for the truth. If we think about the woman, she in the story recognized that the oil and the Lord went together. When we study the Lord's Word, and if we really engage in the Lord's Word and study it, we realize that everything that the Lord is teaching is not just teaching us to be obedient. What do you think the Lord's trying to teach us to do? What is the two great commandments? And? Love the Lord and love your neighbor. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything that the Lord teaches is trying not to teach us to be obedient, not just to do what is right, like the disciples. The Lord wants us to do what is loving. We can either do what is right, or we can do what is loving. It may not seem like there's a difference. Adults, you'll understand this better from your own experience in life. The oil that the woman had represents the love, the goodness that comes from the Lord. And so we see in the anointing of the Lord, the oil is put on his head. And do you think it stays there? No, it runs all the way down. In our recitation this morning, we read about the oil. How good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity, right? And it is love that binds us together. That love that binds us together is like the precious oil on our heads that runs down the beard and onto the garments. So it covers our whole body. It's part of our whole body. This is an image to us of what love is like. It's coming from the Lord. We can imagine it coming from the above. And it's something that flows into our body, flows into our thoughts, flows into our will, flows into everything that we do. So there's a wonderful image there about the oil dripping all over our body, as how love should be a part of everything in our lives. So the Lord is trying to change our minds from just doing good or doing things because they are right, to doing things because they are loving. And there's a difference. There's a difference in that. Here's an example. It is not uncommon for us to see people at a robot, at a traffic light, asking for money. Anybody seen that? We've all seen that. It's a part of being in South Africa at the moment. People are poor, they are in need, and so we see people at Robots begging for money. What does the Lord ask us to do? What would be the obedient thing to do? Are they in need? Are they poor? If we had money, would we be able to help them? So what would be the obedient thing to do? Give them money. That would be the obedient thing. We see somebody in need, we give them what they need. But is that the loving thing to do? And that's a hard question. It's a very difficult question that adults battle with. We can be obedient and just give, or we can do what is best for that person. Unfortunately, part of our human nature is that we don't always know what someone's motives are or what they will actually use money for. Someone might say, I need some money, I've got a family back home, and I've got children to feed, and I need some money. And that sounds like a very worthy cause to give to. But could that person be lying? People could be using the money for drugs, for alcohol. We don't know. We don't know. Is drugs and alcohol helpful to that person or hurtful to that person? It's hurtful to that person. It's hurtful to that person. So if we are going to give them money, are we helping that person or are we hurting that person? We're hurting them. Right? We are being obedient. If they use that money to then go buy alcohol and drugs and hurt themselves, are we being helpful or are we being hurting? We are helping them to hurt themselves. Is that what the Lord wants? No. And this is a very tricky thing in life. We can be obedient or we can do what is best. And to do what is best requires a lot more thought, requires a lot more energy, requires us to get to know someone, requires us to have a conversation, to have a connection with them so that we can truly understand, well, what is the best for you? Is there another way that I can give to you that is more helpful? They might want money, but they might need something else that is actually more helpful. Does that make sense to you? Adults, that same principle applies to relationships in our life. We have relationships where we know what the obedient thing to do is and what a relationship requires, that I need to give of myself to that relationship. But there are some relationships in life where we are manipulated, where that love is not returned. Maybe someone is more selfish in nature and it's not a loving, mutual, close relationship, but a relationship that is one-sided. The right thing to do is to do and give to that person what they need. But what is best for that relationship? And that's hard. That's difficult. That's where the gray area is. That's where we got to try and take all the things that we know in a conversation and everything that we know about that person to make our best possible decision. Will it be wrong? Possibly. May it be right? Maybe. But we don't know. We don't know enough about other people. We don't know enough about ourselves to always pick the right option first. But the Lord is trying to make us aware that there are ways that we can be obedient and just do, or what He's trying to draw us to is to do what is best. Do what is obedient or do what is best. And that is a much harder, more challenging route to go. But that's the route that the Lord asks us to walk. In the story, the Lord said, it is good that what she did, because it was for my burial. Did the Lord die? Or did he raise himself up again? He did both. His death was just part of a process that he might raise up again after death, a new life. And so the Lord is pointing to this and he's saying, this is what your new life is about. This is what being reborn is about, or regenerated is about. It's about choosing this path that is more difficult, that is more challenging, that is gray in nature. But it's the path of trying to bring love down from the Lord into the things that we do as part of our regeneration, our rebirth. I want to finish with the reading from the teachings for the new church. It should be recognized that not until our actions spring from an affection for good, an affection choosing love rather than just obedience, affection from good, has a person been regenerated or reborn. For then our will desires what is good, and we find delight and bliss in doing it. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have given us your word, and that through these stories you are trying to change our minds. Changing our minds that we might change our ways, that you might change our hearts, that your love might flow down from heaven and fill every aspect of our life. Lord, we are all on a path that requires us to sacrifice part of ourselves, to give to others. But Lord, you ask us to do this wisely, to do what is best, not just for ourselves, but for the other person. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it teaches us, that it guides us, and that it shapes our thinking, that we might live and walk the path that leads to heaven. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.